Good morning. So this is the update of what happened at LAL and in the labs that we are connected to, often referred as GRIF. So I think my last site report was 18 months ago, so it's covering quite a large period. So just as usual, when I did not say it explicitly, most of the things apply mainly at LAL. So on the infrastructure side, I would say that it was quite a peaceful time, no major change in the last 18 months. We are very happy with the infrastructure we built in 2013, and it's running very smoothly since then. Just to remind you, this is a data center hosting currently 30 racks and with a capacity of 400 kilowatts, but currently hosting only 250. Shared by several labs and by so either from, let's say, the our community, which is nuclear and high particle and particle physics community, but also from labs from different fields in at the university. So I would say LAL is probably using one third of the capacity. The cooling system is based only on exclusively on real-door heat exchangers at the back of the rack, and we can really fill up all the racks and up to 25 kilowatts. We have seen no problem. So the good news is that the extension is finally starting. I remember that 18 months ago I said it was about to start, so 18 months of delay because of administrative problems. I will not say much here. There's a presentation on Friday on this. So just a picture of the current room. To start, let's say, with some rather good news about the manpower. I reread my slides 18 months ago, and I was saying that maybe we had a better period ahead of us, and I would say basically it happened. So it could always be better, but I would say that for the main server, the green and cloud manage the cloud and the cloud are managed by a rather small team of 3 to 4 people. But in fact, we managed to add new people to the team. In particular, we had a very nice apprentice that we will hire with a 3-year contract. We had a new apprentice who joined. We have been very successful with apprentices in the last years. We had no retirement affecting the direct operation, the operation team in the last years, and there is no one foreseen in the coming years. So let's say it's a pretty good period for the computing division at LAL. About the resources and the compute hardware, so basically we are standardized on dual twin servers to optimize the footprints. So our preferred one now is Dell FX2, a kind of blade-like chassis with a shared network switches that allows basically to use a chain 10 gigabit switches and a better management of the oversubscription. We still have two or three racks of quite old systems. The main problem is that they don't want to die, and as we still have the room to operate them, we tend to continue to use them. I would say they are not used for anything critical. They can be basically shut down at any time. And as we try to standardize of big boxes, we try also to virtualize as many services as possible. On the storage side, we are now basically also standardized on ICE SCSI boxes, like the so it used to be the Dell MD series, and in the recent years, the Dell component. We are probably, I don't know, more than a petabyte of these guys, and we are still buying a new one. We use them in particular for the grid storage, where we put basically one server in front of 100 terabytes. They prove to be performing very well, very resilient, dependable. They are a little bit more expensive than, let's say, a pure storage in a box solution, and there is still a question with the budget decreasing, will we be able to continue to afford it? We still have a small HP-based system running. We really want to throw it away. It was not very dependable. We had a lot of problems in the past with it, less in the recent years. There is a budget challenge to replace this amount of storage when you need to increase significantly what you pledge, in particular for the LHC experiments. And we still have also a NetApp filer used for critical file systems and also for some iSCSI usage. It's very reliable, not performing maybe as well as the iSCSI systems when you need the performance, as far as the performance is concerned. The future is not yet clear, mainly for budget reasons. No decision yet. We'll continue to maintain it. And we are beginning to look at Ceph. There will be also a presentation on Friday about it. I will not go into details, but we are about to deploy a 1 petabyte distributed Ceph infrastructure, which will be a backend for cloud storage and for some experiment, in particular the non-grid-based experiment data storage. And we want also to evaluate the possibilities, in particular to host critical distributed file systems or as a backend for the grid storage or replacement, backend or replacement. About the OS, I would say OS changes, not anything fancy. SL5 at the end is almost away. I think we have still 5 machines running, non-critical ones. We have CentOS growing, currently mainly for service machines, because for the machines exposed to the end users, we are dependent on the experiment software that is generally not really CentOS 7 ready. We have no specific issue to manage the CentOS machine. We are still using Quator. And we have also a few Ubuntu machines that are showing up, in particular for the accelerator controls with the Tango framework. They are currently unmanaged, and we need to think about what to do with them. Maybe Quator may be in a position to do it in the near future. And on the Windows front, we have basically a mix of everything still supported, means Windows 7, 8, and Windows 10. We have no problem managing Windows 10. I am always surprised to hear about people starting pilot with Windows 10, because for me it's something that is basically without problem. We still have a few WXP machines, in particular in the electronics division. It's the constraint of some specific drivers, but this is very specific machines. And basically we have no real upgrade campaigns. It means that people tend to upgrade when they renew their desktop or laptop. We have I just mentioned it because in case somebody has seen it somewhere else, we have a strange problem with Windows 10, the only one we found, with Edurom. When you use a certificate based on authentication, it does not work with Windows 10 and the French certificate. So I remember discussing with some people who don't have this problem. So I think this is really something very specific between the French CA and the requirements for certificates in Windows 10 that probably increase the required level of security. If anybody has any idea, hint, I'm very interested. One big thing for us is about to come is a major change of the mail service. We are about to replace, move the LAL managed mail service to a Zimbra-based service operated by CCN2P3. There will be no change for the user. It will remain the same addresses. In fact, this change has been done by several labs at CCN2P3 in the past years, but they were generally smaller. For LAL, it means basically 600 accounts and some challenging users. The most challenging one has probably 1 million messages in his inbox, so something that I saw some nodding, but I think this is a use case and we have to agree to be able to handle it. But so there were a lot of testing done in the past months. I think there is no major problem foreseen. We decided that it was not possible to migrate everybody on one day because it was just too risky. You just have one user with a problem and you have your system out during half a day or one day. So we'll migrate it progressively, typically group by group. And we found a way to do it basically quite transparently to the users. Not exactly transparently, but at least there is no required changes on the user side before the end of the migration, where at some point they will have to change the mail server they use if they want to continue their preferred web mail client or to use the web interface, something that we recommend for the standard users. And hopefully we will do migration report at the next EPIX. On the cloud, so just mentioned the status of a few projects I mentioned 18 months ago. We are involved in the H2020 Cyclone project that will end at the end of the year. IRFU is one of the partner lab, and who is not here this time, is also involved in the other one, Indigo Data Cloud project, and with similar responsibilities, operating a testbed. And that will probably have some responsibility in the post-NGI language project that is that hopefully will be funded next fall. For the grid site, GRIF, I would say just increase resources, no major changes. The main focus of our current work is to provide a more unified view of the site, which is a distributed site. It means basically one C and one computing element and one storage element per site. The recent advancement has been a unified HT Condor pool used by different Cs, currently in test between three sites and hopefully soon in production. And I would say that there is some work to do to validate everything, but at some point it's not very different from what CMS is doing worldwide, so we know that it's possible. And we are beginning to think on how to do something similar on the storage side, and maybe a little bit more challenging, and Ceph may have a role to play here. On the cloud infrastructure itself, there was a major change just after the last EPIX. We took the decision to stop our effort with Stratus Lab and to migrate the existing cloud to OpenStack. In fact, Lal was left basically as the only developer in the Stratus Lab project. It was not having any sense to try to continue this. A lot of features were lacking. The user interface was not featureful enough. So the migration basically completed almost immediately after the decision was done in 4 months, beginning of last year. And Stratus Lab is more or less out. We still have 10 service VMs to migrate, just a problem of time. And OpenStack Cloud is managed by Quator, as all our services. There was, in parallel with this, a significant increase of the cloud resources, mainly funded by the University Paris Sud, we belong to. We now have basically a little bit more than 2,000 cores, probably 400 terabytes attached, Ceph-based storage. This is for University Paris Sud, this is a key component of their scientific computing infrastructure. And this is also used by at least two labs, LAL and another lab from P2IO for service virtualization. Since the migration, we had a very good feedback from the users. There is a much easier user interface, and in particular, there are quite nice and good dashboards, even if they are not perfect. And since 1 year, a new use case is explored. It's basically Spark on Demand for analysis. This is driven by an R&D activity in LSST that is done in particular at LAL. We are still at the beginning. The hardest part is probably the coupling with the storage, which is quite critical for Spark performance. We would really like not to duplicate our Ceph infrastructure with Hadoop infrastructure, which is the most natural storage infrastructure for Spark. So there is quite some work, and we are not really clear on how we'll do it, whether we put an HDFS interface in front of Ceph, or if we try to use, for example, the S3 interface that is supported by Spark. And there is really a growing interest for this kind of technology across scientific fields, all scientific fields at the university. And in fact, one of the good news is that we will be able to hire a new person at LAL at the end of the year to replace the person who is currently in charge of this activity and will retire next year. So I mean, we should have some continuity here. And we are still considering the virtualization of all our grid worker nodes. It was it's quite a number of years we are considering it, so at some point we may do it. Clearly now that we are using HTCondor, it's much easier to plan, and maybe it could be a good use case for containers, so to be seen maybe later. And just maybe to complete this site report, a few words about a project that is called the Refondation in our lab in Orsay. So this is the name of a major project that has started basically 1 year ago, but is now in a very active discussion phase, and which is about a possible merge of five of our of the eight labs of the so-called P2IO, physics des infinis, and the origins, it means nuclear physics, basically nuclear physics, high energy physics, and astrophysics at the University Paris Sud. Potentially, this is 18 persons that are concerned by this project, and if the solution discussed had to be implemented, it will be building something like 800 person lab. So from the P2IO, if you remember the previous site reports, there are mainly two labs that are out, IRFU and LLR, because they are not part of University Paris South. They are very close to us, but not part of this organization. And the target date for this project is basically 2020. So the goal is to be basically in a better position to face the future challenges and have the ability to play maybe a greater role in experiments. For example, just to mention the potential for the computing, what I call the computing division, doesn't mean it will be a computing division like this, but there is about 60 people doing computing, either operation or software development. So at this point, it's still uncertain. This is a process in progress that involves all the personnel that are interested through topical working groups that are just starting. But there is a very good involvement from the labs. There is basically half of the people concerned that are participating to these working groups, so this is quite encouraging. This is also time-consuming, doesn't help to get the things done on the computing side. But this is also healthy because it's also an attempt to collectively define our future. And clearly computing, in this process, computing has a role to play because this is already 5 years that we started to work together in this P2IO virtual data working group, that we built these data centers and started quite a few activities around this. So let's see in the future site report. Thank you for your attention.